Hello. It is really good to be here. We've been looking forward to this for weeks, really just to spend time with Andre and Sonika, but just as much to meet you guys and to be able to share with you out of our own lives. So thank you for having us. It is a great privilege to be here. And I just have to tell you this before we do anything else. I just have to do this. We played adventure golf this afternoon, a little bit earlier, and I just have to tell you that Sonika and I won the men. Sonika won, and I was 1 point behind her, and they were way, way behind us, way behind. So we just wanted you to know that for future reference, if you... yes, and we've been looking forward to just having a little bit of a break. So this morning was the first day in weeks, maybe probably months, that we could just sleep in. We have children and we are never allowed to sleep in. We just never have that privilege. So this morning we could actually sleep in, not with anybody coming to bother us. So I was fast asleep, and normally I get up at 6 in the morning, and often earlier the kids come and wake us. So 6:15, my phone rang just here, and just next to me it was lying, and it's on loud because otherwise I never hear it. So my phone rang, and I couldn't believe it. So I pick up the phone, I go, "Hello," and it is Mikaela, my oldest, she's 9 years old. "Hello, Mama!" Like, "Yes." She goes, "Are you asleep?" "Yes." So she says, "No, we just wanted to say hello." Bang, she puts the phone down in my ear. So we could not sleep in this morning. We tried to sleep again. So that was also, it's not, apparently we're not allowed to do that. So anyway, that's not what we are here for. I'm going to share with you this evening on how to prepare for marriage, or actually more, entering into marriage being prepared. Now, I have 45 minutes to do this, and I need a weekend. So, I don't know how I'm going to do it. I think it's impossible. But I'm trying to go to the bottom line of the bottom line, and then I could probably might manage to do it in 45 minutes, trusting God that whatever else I think everybody needs to know that are still going to get married will find it from God himself or somewhere, because there really is not that much time. So I want to start with a couple of scriptures. And I want to start by saying that we've been married for 12 years and we have 5 children. And we've really been, you know, there's a lot that we can share and a lot that we have experienced. Andre and Sonika has been married for 11 years. So, there really is a lot that we can say, but I want to start. I saw somewhere, it said there a bit earlier, living the dream. And I believe that all of us, and I hope that all of us have this thing in our hearts that marriage is like a dream and that we want that perfect marriage. Now, we all know that the perfect marriage does not exist, but we all want that great marriage. That wonderful marriage, that dream kind of marriage. And I want to say this evening, and this will probably excite you, it really is possible and it really is real. And we can all have it. We just need to do it God's way. Whatever we do God's way works. Whatever we do not do God's way tend not to work. And even if godly principles are being applied in marriages who do not serve the Lord, it even works for them. So I want to read to you those couple of scriptures. This is just to excite us and to just hold before us a picture of marriage. So the first scripture is Song of Solomon, obviously Song of Solomon 2, verse 4, 5, and 6. And it says, "He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Sustain me with raisins, refresh me with apples, for I am sick with love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand embraces me. Do you like that? You can say yes. That is okay. Anton and I are not shy. I hope we're not a shock to your system. 5 kids later, we are not shy. Okay, so this really is a beautiful picture of marriage. And this really, I believe, is what God wants for us. And it will be a good thing for us to, when we prepare ourselves for marriage, to not get stuck with any other ideas. Yes, it is hard. It can be very hard. It is a process. It is not always easy. There is a lot to say about marriage. Would be the best thing if you attend this again once you are married, the sessions for the married people, because once we do get married, there is a lot that we have to deal with. But we can have such an amazing time together with God and with each other if we just, for a start, enter into the marriage in the right way. And really, what I'm going to share with you this evening, I promise you, I can promise you a million times, I know this, I don't doubt this for a second. If you only apply what I can share with you in 45 minutes, it will already make a huge difference to the way that you enter into your marriage. So this evening, we cannot speak about marriage as such because you are not there yet. You know, when we did marriage prep, Anton and I, you know, in marriage prep, they prepare you for everything. Your finances when you are married and your in-laws and your sexual intimacy and having children, and they cover every single thing. And whenever they speak about anything that might become problematic in your marriage, you think, ugh, we're not going to struggle with that. It's like, and then you get married and it becomes real and it's like, oh, we should have listened. We should have listened, then we would have known. So there are some things are pretty much guaranteed. It is going to probably be difficult or hard. But so what we are aiming at this evening is really, what I'm aiming at is really to help us to enter into marriage and to prepare ourselves so that when we do get married, it will be as smooth and as biblical as possible. And we are not, I really trust that this is going to help you. There's another scripture that I want to read from Song of Solomon 2, verse 16. My beloved is mine and I am his. And there really is, it is one of the most amazing blessings in this life, one of the best things that we can ever experience this side of eternity, is just the fact that I can have one person that is only mine. Only mine. I don't have to share him or her with anybody else. It is my man or my lady, and we are clinging to each other no matter what happens. And that really is precious. And that is really is something to look forward to. And it is the blessing of God. So when we speak about how do I prepare myself, there is a lot to say. There really is a lot to say. And I'm going to just touch on the basics this evening. And I want to read to you from Song of Solomon's again, 2 verse 7. And it says there, I adjure you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the gazelles or the does of the field, that you do not stir up or awaken love until it pleases. I'm sure some of you might know the scripture. It says, do not stir up or awaken love until it pleases. Now, there is a lot, just in this scripture, there is a lot that we can learn on preparing ourselves for marriage. Now, I want to tell you a little story that you will find very funny, and I will really expose Andrea, Pastor Andre, but I don't think he will mind. We were friends as students long ago. And Anton and I got married 1 year before Andre and Sonika got married. And like, who of you here are in relationships? Wow. Oh, just a little bit higher up, can you? Okay, the rest of you not. Well, that's quite amazing. Okay, now we were, so Anton and I were, I really find that quite interesting. How old are you? Okay, anyway, I will pray for you. Okay, so Anton and I were in a relationship, and Andre and Sonika were in a relationship, but we got married more or less a year before them. So this battle of not awakening love until it pleases was really a battle. Now, let's just be real and honest here. It's a battle. So we were just married, back from the honeymoon for about a month or two. So we were visiting together with Andre and Sonika, who were not married yet. So after the visit, we were going home together, being married, and they had to go their separate ways, not being married yet. So Andre looked at us. I don't think he will remember this. He doesn't even know what's coming. Andre looked at us, and he was like so jealous. And he said to us, just go home and just enjoy it. Just enjoy yourselves. So we were very happy. We were very happy for Andre and Sonika when they were finally allowed to get married and to go home and enjoy themselves. And I really want to speak about the fact that the Word of God says, do not stir or awaken love until the time is right. Because there is so much in that when we look at preparing ourselves for marriage. And really, if we had to sum this scripture up in two or three words, it would be guard your heart. And I think Anton will speak quite a bit more about that tomorrow, on Sunday as well, and this evening. But something that we must understand is when we do stir and awaken love before the time is right, we are really messing things up for ourselves. I think some of you have experienced this already. And there's something that we must understand. When we enter into marriage and we started to give something to our future husband or our future wife before the marriage already, that was actually made for the covenant of marriage, then we lose something very precious. Because when we enter into any kind of activity, and when we say sexual activities, we are not just referring to the actual deed of having sexual intimacy. We are referring to anything that is intimate enough that it causes you to want to go further and have sex. And whenever we do those things, we are not just opening up our bodies. Really, more than anything else, we are opening up our hearts. And when you start opening your heart in that kind of way, you are on such dangerous ground. And you really complicate things. And we must understand very clearly where the boundaries are. You know, when God said, do not have sex before marriage, it was not because he wanted to spoil our fun. It was because he understood what happens to us, what happens to our hearts, what happens to our minds when we start opening up for those things. And when we start giving ourselves in a way that is not safe. And when we are in a relationship, it is good, and Anton will speak about this, but it is good to start with a good friendship. It is great just to start with a friendship. And that friendship is growing, and that friendship becomes more intimate. But until the day that you stand before that walk down that aisle and stand before that pulpit and make that covenant with each other, You do not open yourself completely. You just do not. And I can really testify from just out of our own relationship where we did struggle in this area, and from speaking to many couples who really struggled, that there is a way that Satan wants to steal from us, because he wants our marriages to not work. And there is such a blessing in guarding our hearts and guarding ourselves and keeping ourselves pure. And when we prepare for marriage, we need to understand the foundation of that marriage is not going to be our physical relationship. Can I say that again? The foundation of our marriage is not going to be our sexual intimacy. It is going to be our friendship. And out of that flows the sexual intimacy, which is extremely important. And there's a lot to say about that. But we do not need to find each other physically before we get married. And even if you kiss with your mouth open, do not... Anton says tongue in the long. Do not... You know, that is extremely intimate. And we do not need to find each other physically. We need to find each other in friendship. We need to find each other in loyalty and in trusting each other and in knowing each other. And I'm going to speak about the center of that relationship just now, where we find God in the middle of that all. But that is where we need to find each other. And when we guard our hearts, because once we open up for physical intimacy, then the doors open for, there's so much emotion going on between us, and there's so, the doors open for just sharing from a place where we are not supposed to share yet. If you understand what I'm speaking about, it is even difficult to explain. It confuses us. And we need to understand that there is a safe boundary. There is a safe boundary where I prepare myself for marriage, guarding my heart, guarding myself against that kind of intimacy. Because the moment when we are intimate like that, then we want to give ourselves completely. And it is not safe. There's no covenant. There's no commitment. It is not safe. And then we start that relationship insecure. And then when we enter into marriage, we are not prepared because we still have trust issues. We still struggle to trust that person. And we found that women really struggle to respect their husbands if they went too far before the marriage. So I'm really stressing this evening, because I know that this is one thing that is just so important in preparing ourselves for that coming together. Now, let's speak about that. You know, we had a relationship camp, a whole weekend thing with the Shofar Secunda Church. And I was really praying about what to share and what not to share. And I really felt that God was showing me that... there's so much wisdom that we can have as we enter into marriage that is simply never communicated to us. Now, most of us who are married, and I really believe that our parents are supposed to tell and share these things with us, but they just don't. And the generation that we come from, and I believe it did change quite a bit over the years, and I believe it's maybe better your generation, but you know, there's a kind of impartation and wisdom that parents need to teach their children, and that we can enter into whatever we enter to with wisdom and with understanding. And there's quite a bit that I believe that that could have been imparted to us, that is never imparted to us, and we have to discover these things all by ourselves, and we could be saved so many tears and failed expectations and disappointments if we really understood more before we even attempted something. So I really want to, now remember, we are speaking about entering into marriage prepared. Now, before we get married, and the most important of what I want to share this evening, I'm going to end with. So just bear with me. Now, before we get married, we get very, you know, we come together, we are in a relationship, we are extremely excited, and now we decide that we are going to finally get married and have our big wedding day, and we plan this whole big wedding, and we never think beyond the wedding day. Has anybody ever noticed this? When there is a wedding, we think about the wedding, and we plan the wedding, and the dress, and the cake, and the flowers, and all those kind of things, and the parents, and what are we going... And we never think beyond that wedding day. And I want to impart to you, and I really pray that an impartation will take place here, where we really receive this evening a little bit of wisdom beyond the wedding day, okay, that will help us. And I found from speaking to a lot of couples and newlyweds and seeing how they struggle, that many times when couples get married and they are so excited, and then the honeymoon comes and the first couple of months comes, and for many couples, it is quite an eye-opener, and for some, even a little bit of a disappointment, because they had a certain kind of expectation, and that expectation was failed. It failed them. And I found that devastation of their idea of what it is going to be like, and then the way that it is really throwing them and really in a way devastating them. And in that way, they enter into the marriage quite disappointed and disillusioned. And it is not a good foundation to build on. And then they first have to recover from that and come to the place where they really find each other. So I want to spend about 10 minutes this evening on practical tips to help us to enter into marriage prepared. Is that okay? Can I do that? Okay, now, after the wedding comes the honeymoon. Who of you are planning on going on honeymoon after your wedding? Okay, did you know that in some countries, the only holiday they ever have is their honeymoon, and then they use it for mission work? Okay, that's quite radical. These people are radical for God. Now, I found in so many instances that it is right here at the honeymoon where things already go wrong. So I want to use 10 minutes this evening being like a little bit of a mother figure here and just share something with you to make your honeymoon as amazing as possible, okay? I don't think anybody else will ever do this, so I will take this opportunity to do this, okay? Because I really believe that God wants to bless your honeymoon and make it a very special time that you can always think back of, always refer back to as the time when the two of you found each other in so many ways. And let me start by saying that we need to make God the center of everything. And I'm going to end with that. But already starting with our honeymoon. Okay. Or I want to read to you a scripture first. Psalm 1 verse 2. It speaks about the righteous man, and it says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. It speaks about the man who has a heart after God, and it says his delight is in the Lord, and he meditates on the Lord day and night. And then Psalm 16 verse 9. Therefore my heart is glad and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. It speaks about the fact that God is my delight and God is my joy and God is the one that I dwell on and meditate on day and night. Okay, I'm going to come back to this towards the end. Let's come back to the honeymoon. Now, when we come together and we have that beautiful wedding day, then comes the honeymoon, and many of us enter into that honeymoon completely blind. And we need to actually prepare for that. We need to prepare. We need to understand each other. Because many times I found that people enter into marriage and even on the honeymoon already, they are disillusioned. So here are some practical tips that I want to give you. The first thing is something that we must understand in preparation of marriage, and starts with the honeymoon, and you can pull it right through to after the honeymoon and our life together forever. And the first thing is, what is my expectation and what is your expectation? Sometimes we think we know each other. We are convinced that we know each other. And then we come on the honeymoon and I had this idea and you had that idea. And those two ideas are completely different. Can I give you an example? I'm just going to give you this example. My husband here, Anton. Okay. Anton is really an adventure kind of guy. And he was always, his whole life, and he became born again while he was in high school. And he kept himself pure. He never had any sexual relationships. In fact, he had no relationships. And he was always looking forward to the one day when he's going to meet his wife and when he's finally going to have this amazing marriage. So he was really planning this honeymoon, really looking forward to this honeymoon. And one of the things that he was really fantasizing in his head and thinking is going to be the most amazing thing is being out in nature and having sex in nature. That was like, you know, Anton just imagined the beach and the forest and the mountain. And he had this amazing idea. And little did he know, he married a wife who really thought that the room was the best place and the only place to do it. You know, and there's quite a lot of, and especially for men, you know, generally, it's not always the same, but generally men are quite focused on the sex part of the honeymoon and really planning for it and thinking about it. And there's something that we need to understand here. It is not the same. Very often, it is that thing that you are thinking and fantasizing and hoping for and really believing. I was dreaming about this all of my life, and now this is going to happen. And then right there and then, we are already disillusioned. And we need to learn to communicate. I'm speaking about preparing ourselves for marriage. We need to learn before we even enter into this marriage to communicate about expectation. Because if you were so looking forward to having sexual intimacy in the waves and on the beach, and now your wife is refusing that, you know, then it's really a disappointment. And it goes deep, you know, because now now there's a lot going with that, because you thought it was going to be like this and you thought it was going to be like that. And what we need to speak about expectation. What is your expectation for sexual intimacy? You know, I asked Anton, when we get married, How often do you think we are going to have sexual intimacy? He said to me, 7 days a week. And I was like, 7? Are you crazy? I mean, who does that, you know? And right then and there, we identified an expectation. Now, we enter into marriage and we have a frame of reference, we have a background, we have a way of thinking, and we need to learn to communicate that. So here's my practical tip to you. Go and please, when it comes to the honeymoon, wait until a day before the wedding and have a glass in between you, because this might just lead you to temptation when you speak about this. But we need to learn to communicate. Because many times, especially for the women, but many men as well, enter into it full of fear and insecurity. And, you know, you as a man might think, wow, now I'm going to, you know, now finally we can come together and we can find each other. And what you do not know is that your wife has got such a fear for you to see her naked. She's so terribly insecure about something. There's maybe one or two or three things about her body, or vice versa for the man. And there's such a fear inside of that person, but it is never being communicated. So we need to just sit down and speak about expectation, about frame of reference. And we really need to sit and say, this is what I expect, starting with the honeymoon, carrying through to the household. This is my idea. This is my expectation. What is your idea? What is your, you know, before Anton and I got married, I said to him, listen, there are some things that I really feel insecure about, and I need to tell you what it is, because I fear this honeymoon. I fear this. And I mentioned it to him, and he could say, you really don't have to fear. I promise you, you will be safe with me. This is the way it is going to be. And it could be amazing because of that. And then we take it further, and there's expectation when it comes to the household. Some women enter into the marriage expecting and assuming that their husband is going to help with the dishes and help with the food and help with the cleaning of the house. And some men enter into the marriage assuming that their wife will love going with them every Saturday to watch the rugby and braai, you know. And we have all of these assumptions, and this is my way of thinking, and my parents did it this way, and your, and we are so disillusioned when we are in the marriage, and I had this idea, and I had this expectation, and you had that idea, and you had that expectation, and we need to learn to communicate. And really, if there's something that we can get right, it is to already, before we get married, in preparing for that marriage, we need to learn to communicate. We need to learn, this is how I feel. This is what I expect. This is what I do not understand. This is what I can do. This is what I cannot do. And because, you know, when there is no communication, we really create a space for the enemy to come in. And we make assumptions. We make all kinds of assumptions. And I can guarantee you, if you enter into this marriage already being able to communicate, and you know, I've seen so many times where a husband is trying to surprise a wife, or a wife is trying to surprise a husband, and it completely backfires. And the wife is thinking, but how could he not know this about me? You know, my husband brought me flowers a couple of times. Then finally I said to him, listen, whenever you get it into your head to buy me flowers, ever, just take that idea and just tell yourself, I am going to take this money and buy nougat, chocolate. I'm not going to buy flowers, because it's not my love language. And we are learning to, we are getting to know each other. We are coming to that place where we need to communicate. We need to, and really, if we are speaking about preparing for the marriage and preparing to go with it as smoothly as we possibly can, then we need to understand that there's different expectation, there's different frame of reference, there's different ideas, and if we can just start by communicating that. Now I'm going to end, my time is almost up, and what I'm sharing with you now is really extremely important, and I really believe that if we can get this right, it is possible for everything else to fall in place. Now, I read to you those scriptures, and I want to read to you Psalm 16, verse 9 again. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my whole being rejoices. My flesh also dwells secure. Now, there's something that we really need to understand, and this is really the bottom line. When we come together in marriage, and this really is something that very often happens with newlyweds. I've seen this so many times. We need to understand that, as I said earlier, God is my source. God is my healer. God is my deliverer. God is my hope. And we cannot look to our spouse. We cannot look to this person that we are getting married to for anything, any of those things. Because when we do, we put an unfair expectation on them. A completely unfair expectation. And I'm saying this because I see this over and over and over again. We come together and we are so happy to be married, and our first inclination is to make this person that I'm married my everything. And Jesus says, when you go to pray, go into your room, shut the door, and speak to your Father in heaven. That speaks about a relationship with God apart from anybody else. There's something that we need to understand, really, as we prepare for marriage, as we are entering into marriage, and as we are being married, we must always, always maintain our relationship with God as our first and foremost and most important relationship. And I have many testimonies, and Sonika and Andre and Anton, we can give you many testimonies of what happens in our relationships when we start putting God second and our spouse first. We are so unsatisfied. We had I was at the Somerset West Church a while back, and the worship leader there was just married and very much in love, and he was leading the worship, and he gave this amazing testimony, and he was crying, tears were streaming down his face. And he said, I recently got married, and I was so happy, and I was so in love, and I was so satisfied, and I was so content, and I couldn't think that one could be more content or happier or more satisfied. He said, but yet my heart was aching. He said, yet I could not find that deep place that I need fulfillment in. It just seemed to stay empty until I realized I traded that first place that I always gave to God, I gave it to my wife. And if you don't remember anything from this evening, then you can remember this. The moment when you put that need that you have for acceptance, that need for love, that need for assurance, that need for just to know that I am good enough, that need for security, for healing, for restoration, we cannot get that from another human being. We cannot. And I can encourage you by saying, don't even try. Before we even enter into the marriage, just establish that. Look each other in the eye and say, I am not going to put that expectation on you, and you are not going to put that expectation on me. Yes, we are one flesh. Yes, we are one. Yes, we can love each other, but we are never going to be able to fulfill each other's need. And before we get married, we should already be fulfilled in God. We should already be satisfied with God and with what He can give us and with what He can do for us. And when we do, and there's a powerful principle in this, because what I've learned in my marriage is the moment when my expectation is on Anton, when he is low, I am low. When he is weak, I am weak. When he is depressed, I am depressed, because he is my source. The moment when I look to him for my source, to strengthen me, to give me joy, to heal me, then whatever he experiences, I experience. But when I take my eyes off Anton and I put it on God, and he's my source, and he's my healer, and he's my deliverer, and he's my joy, then I can come to Anton, and when he is weak, I can lift him up. I can pray for him. I can encourage him. When my faith is little and when I struggle, then he can stand and he can encourage me and he can lift me up. Because God is his source and God is my source. And in that regard, we are independent from each other, because God is our most important relationship. And then when we come together, there is a powerful unity. And then when we come together to pray, and when we come together to see God, him in his own relationship with God, and me in my own relationship with God, we come together as one, and we come together to God in unity, then there is an amazing presence, there is an amazing anointing from God just to lead us and to guide us, an amazing purpose to our relationship. So I really want to end off this evening by encouraging us, as we are preparing for marriage, the most important thing is to love God with all of our hearts and all of our minds and all of our souls. And from that healthy place of loving God and knowing God, I can pursue this relationship and it will go well. And remember what I was holding before you in the beginning? I am sick with love. My beloved is mine and I am his. That is when that relationship becomes so amazing. That is when it becomes so special and so unique, because I can love you with the love that God is pouring out in my heart. And I can assure you, in marriage, there will come times when what your spouse will need is much more than you. And what you will have to offer is prayer. And what you will offer is God in me reaching out to you. So can we quickly pray before we carry on? Okay. Father, we thank you for this opportunity, Lord. Father, we thank you, God, that you have a heart, Lord, to bless our marriages, Lord. God, you have a heart, Father, just to see, God, that as our marriages are planted and anchored in you, God, that you raise us up as mighty men and women, changing this world through healthy, godly, biblical, happy marriages, Lord. Father, we want to pray over every single one that is here, God. God, we pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you will bless them, Father. God, that you will bless every decision that they make, Father. Father, we pray that to each one of them, God, you will add unto them that special person, Father, that will become one in purpose with them, Father. Father, we pray, God, that they will guard their hearts, that they will guard themselves, that they will keep themselves, Father. And when they do come together, Father, that the center of their relationship, the middle of their relationship, the foundation of their relationship will be you and you alone. In the name of Jesus. Amen.